Welcome, friends, to Living the Adventure. I'm your radio host, George Runyon, and I'm so glad you have joined us as we study together God's Word. I hope you can go on this journey with me every Sunday at 6:30 here on GOD Radio 1 as we learn how to develop our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Be sure to invite a friend to listen each Sunday at 6:30 p.m. And again, thank you to all who listen and support these broadcasts in helping defray the financial costs. Your help is very much appreciated and received. Thank you. Please drop us a note and let us know you're listening and give us your comments on the program. You can write us at CCM, that's City Church Ministries, P.O. Box 152-388, San Diego, California, 92195. And also, you can go to our website at www.sdccm.org. And there at the website, on the front page, I have a description of my new book, One New Man, One Holy Nation, The Priesthood of All Believers. And you can go to resources and go down to podcast. And when you get to podcast, you can look for the year 2026. And all the broadcasts that we have done this year so far are there. And you can choose any broadcast you want to listen to. If you miss parts of this broadcast, you'll find it there on the website. So we encourage you to do that. And also at the bottom of the page is some of the books I have available. My new book is not on that bottom page yet, One New Man, but the description is on the front page. And the order form is there if you want to order any of the books. And, of course, the cost pays for the books and also helps us with the program. All right, so I appreciate that. And if we have time, I'll remind you again at the end of the broadcast. So we've been going through the Beatitudes, and today we're at Matthew 7:5, dealing with remove the log from your eyes so you can see clearly. By the way, this is Father's Day, so I want to say happy Father's Day to all the men that are out there and fathers in the faith. We appreciate you so much. And, you know, Jesus came to reveal the Father and to reveal the Father's heart. And so there's quite an emphasis on fathering in the Word of God. And the apostles in their writings really put an emphasis on that. And the eldership of the church is intended to be fathers in the house of the Lord. So I just wanted to say thank you, fathers, for being faithful to your wives and to your children. Continue to do so. Pray and bless your kids and help them to understand the Word of God. This is one of the greatest things you can do as a father, as you spend time with your young people. All right, Matthew 7, verse 5. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. It is easy to look at another person and evaluate all that is wrong with them. It is difficult to look inside oneself and rightly evaluate our own condition. Hypocrisy is a powerful attitude in religious circles, and I dare say some hypocrisy is demonic at its core. The religious hypocrites of Jesus' day had as their father not Abraham, but the devil. John 8:44, Jesus calls them out. And those religious leaders had a huge log in their eyes. In fact, Jesus called them blind. See Matthew 23:16-26. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to remove the log from our eye. He does this by enabling us to be crucified with Christ. At first, he brings conviction of our sin. We begin to see how lost we are. And then the Holy Spirit comes and begins a work in us. And he begins to show the log of our own eye. He does this by enabling us to be crucified with Christ. Only death can cure the self-centered hypocrisy that lives in all of us, born with, that grows up in us. Nevertheless, I live, Paul says. I live because the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me, in Romans 8:11. Now that being said, the life that I now have, I live by the faith of the Son of God, Galatians 2:20. It is only by Jesus' faith that I can live free from judging others, and his faith operates in me by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is at the core of one new man. You see, Jesus came to make a new humanity in the earth, born of the Spirit, to redeem the lost and to bring them into a relationship with he and the Father. And he did this through the death of the cross, on the cross, and his burial, and in the power of his resurrection. And so God began a whole new human race in the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, by giving us his Holy Spirit and causing our spirit to be regenerated and the works of Christ to be established in us. And we're able to think the way Jesus thought. The Bible says, put on the mind of Christ. That's one of the most important lessons we can learn. And so I live because the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. As I said, Romans 8:11 makes that clear. So does Galatians 2:20. It's only by Jesus' faith that I can live free from judging others, and his faith operates in me by the power of his Spirit. Paul said, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Romans 7:24. He goes on to answer his own question by giving thanks. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Romans 7:25. Yes, the Holy Spirit of God gives the life of Christ to us and enables us to do what was impossible in our own ability and strength. And that's for every human being. It wasn't just for the Jew, but it was for every Gentile as well. The Lord made a provision that we all might come into a relationship with him through the Lord Jesus Christ. So he helps us to remove the log in our own eye and graces us to help others remove the speck in their eye. That speck is really a log to God, but was a speck to us because of the log, which blinded our eyes. How wonderful it is to have one sight recovered and to look at another without judgment and condemnation, but to see through the eyes of Jesus a new person redeemed by Christ's precious blood. You know, beloved, let me just say, that's at the heart of racial divide, is that through the new birth, we ought to be able to see the new man in each one of us. And what a rejoicing that is as we come into the unity of heaven, as we come into the understanding of the Father's heart and what the Father sees through the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's give ourselves to this beatitude and have sight recovered and look at another without judgment and condemnation, but see through the eyes of Jesus a new person redeemed by Christ's precious blood. Amen. Today, let the Holy Spirit do surgery. Remove all the obstacles that cause you to be hindered in your sight. Ask God to help you see others as Christ does. Father, we pray that prayer right now, that each one of us would be able to see through the eyes of Jesus, the love of God, and to see others as redeemed individuals, regardless of their backgrounds, regardless of whatever identity they have. Help us to see them in the love of the Father. And we give you all the glory and the praise, Holy Spirit, as you do that. We thank you that you have come to be our helper. And so help us this day, help us throughout the year to be men and women that see with the eyes of Jesus, as Christ saw, as he looked at those apostles who had lots of problems. They were in competition with each other. It took 3.5 years of being with Jesus for them to come to a place of being able to receive one another. It took the blood of Christ. It took his death, his burial, and his resurrection to transform those men. and all the others that followed him, those 120 that were in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, had received the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and their lives were completely healed and transformed at that moment. So they were able to go out into the street and proclaim what Christ had done so others might come in, beginning with the Jews and then the Samaritans and then the Gentiles, those of the nations of the earth. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Now, we go to Matthew 7, 6, where the Word of God begins to talk to us about guard what is holy. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. The Jewish people called the Gentiles dogs. We know that there came a time when Gentiles were accepted, just as I just spoke, and qualified for salvation. Jesus is using the term dogs, referring to any that reject God's provision and treat it as a dog might treat a precious possession belonging to his master. What God the Father has given to us is compared to a pearl. A swine would not care anything of the pearl's value. He would just bury it in the mud and slop. Likewise, the swine might turn on you and do you great damage. Jesus was preparing kingdom-minded people for the reality of the tribulations that lay ahead. For those trusting Christ in our witnessing, we need to use wisdom, not flaunt what Christ has done for us. The conduct of our lives is our real witness to the unsaved. Vocal volume and many words will not bring the lost to Christ. It is our steady and faithful lifestyle that will ultimately convince people of the kingdom of God and create a desire to follow Christ. Amen. I hope you can say amen with me on that. This is so important to get a hold of, beloved. It is our steady and faithful lifestyle that will ultimately convince people of the kingdom of God and create desire to follow Christ. Many Christians suffer persecution because they do not follow the counsel which Jesus gives to us in this verse. The Holy Spirit is our guide in witnessing. We cannot hope to be effective without his power and leading. We must learn to hold our counsel as well as share it as the receptivity, as the precious Holy Spirit leads. We should only be sharing by the promptings of the Spirit. Paul's witness on Mars Hill gives us valuable lessons regarding receptivity. Some began to sneer, but others said, "We shall hear you again concerning this matter." Acts 17, 32 through 34. And there were some that believed. The third group received the word of God freely and became disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove, the scriptures instruct us. Ask the Holy Spirit to be your guide, to give you power to proclaim the gospel and live a consistent Christian witness before all. And then Jesus goes on to teach, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Matthew 7, verse 12. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. In the classic sense, this verse is known as the golden rule. For many people, Christian and non-Christian, the golden rule sums up Jesus' ministry. Jesus took from the law and the prophets and expressed all the law and all the prophets in his simple statement found in Matthew 7:12. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. So the Lord is telling us that that's what we're to do. If we are not treating someone the way we would like to be treated, the Holy Spirit is not empowering us. The Holy Spirit will never violate this word of Christ. The verse gives us cause for regular repentance. For married folks, the application of this verse would heal many marriages. For church leaders, the application would bring peace to many deacon meetings. For pastors, the application would bring peace between the church bodies. For those in secular work, the application of this verse would bring peace at the office. What a brilliant Savior and Lord we serve. Oh, the wisdom of heaven. By his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and the righteousness and sanctification and redemption. 1 Corinthians 1:30. You and I have the potential to live by this golden rule. The wisdom of heaven is dwelling in each believer through the Holy Spirit. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. Many apply the Philippians passage to difficult situations in their life, but it is a great passage to be applied for the changing of our attitudes and allowing for the development of the character of Christ within us. So today, ask the Holy Spirit to help you consider how to view other people. Invite Him to give you the right attitude about others. Commit yourself daily to trust the Holy Spirit in helping you to treat others as you want them to be treated, as you want to be treated. Now again, we continue on. Jesus says, enter into the narrow gate, Matthew 7:13. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many that enter through it. Jesus is teaching us an eternal truth that is important for us to grasp. The serpent gave Eve a broad choice in tempting her to eat the tree. God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil, Genesis 3:5. It is clear from the scriptures that God always had it in his heart to elevate man and open up his understanding. God's ways are narrow and time-tested. He proves us before giving to us the greater responsibility. He wants to protect his sons and daughters from the pitfalls which will stop us from experiencing his best. This is what Paul meant when he said, no temptation has taken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above, beyond what you are able, but will with the temptation will provide the way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13. The way of escape for Eve was Adam, and that had received the word of God. Instead of turning to her husband, she ate the fruit. Adam's way of escape was to turn the word of God. Instead of turning to him, turning to the word of God, and turning to God in the process, but instead he followed his wife's choice. They opened the broad way which humans follow. Jesus teaches we must enter through the narrow gate. He is that gate, beloved. He chose the cross rather than an easy way out. He established the narrow gate for all mankind. From that point on, you see, we've got to come to the cross. We can't pay the price ourselves. Jesus paid the price by hanging on the cross for us. But then he gives us opportunity to go to the cross ourselves, to deny ourselves and follow him. America has become a pluralistic society. This means we have swung open the gate to all the false religions of the world. The original intent of America's founding fathers was a Christian society made up of all the different denominations. Everyone could express their Christian faith as their conscience dictated. The founding fathers knew that that only the Christian faith would provide an atmosphere for other religions to survive. America, for many years, honored the narrow gate of the gospel of Christ. In more recent times, the narrow has become rejected and replaced with the broad, leading us down a road of destruction. Only by allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us back to the narrow gate, which is Christ, will our nation and its institutions survive. Will it be relativism, whatever feels good or right to you, or will it be God's laws, which are narrow by worldly standards, but led to life and abundantly? The Holy Spirit is present to empower to choose life. Father, today I choose life. Life in Christ by obeying your word through the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, forgive me for the choices I've made that led to the broad way, the easier way perhaps, but caused me great suffering and great trouble because I didn't follow your way. Forgive us, Father, and cleanse us in the name of Jesus, that we might be people that learn how to discover and walk on the narrow path that leads to life and leads to abundance of life and the victory that Jesus has provided for us. Now, Jesus goes on and he says in Matthew 7:16, you will know them by their fruits. Every good tree bears good fruit. So the context of Jesus' teaching is to beware of false prophets who come in sheep's clothing. And they are many, beloved. Even in the Christian faith, there are many false prophets that are saying things for their own welfare, for their own benefit, not to be a servant, not to help you, but to take from you. So we've got to be careful today. That's why we need to be under a true shepherd's oversight and care. We need to be in a community where people are loving one another, looking out for one another. Social media has harmed us because many have gotten on there and shared something different than what Jesus has taught and have been ravenous wolves inwardly. We are to be fruit checkers. If a person claims to be an authority on some subject, it is important to examine what has been produced in their life. Words are cheap. That's why we need to be in community, so we can see what's going on with our lives, with one another. We can hold one another accountable in a good way. But godly fruit comes with a price tag. Any prophetic voice that has not been through the fire is suspect. Anyone who claims to be an apostle and has not known rejection is not being truthful. Growth, most of the time, is frustrating and painful. Paul instructs, know those who labor among you, 1 Thessalonians 5:20. In the context of Matthew 7:15 through 23, Jesus uses the understanding that a tree can be either good or bad. The proof is in the fruit that's produced by that tree. Jesus likens himself to a vine, John 15. He makes it clear that this vine is a fruit-bearing vine. The Holy Spirit has made us a part of that vine as branches, which are to bear fruit. If the branch is fruitless, it is removed. If the branch is no longer receiving the life of the tree, it shrivels up and dies. Jesus declares, apart from me, you can do nothing, John 15:5. Our life is derived from him. He is the vine. We are the branches. The Holy Spirit made the connection, and the Holy Spirit supplies the life that flows from the vine and the branches. It is the Holy Spirit who anoints us to be fruitful. I want the fruit of my life to be known as good. I want the fruit to be produced from the vine, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, I ask you now in the name of Jesus for the Holy Spirit to make each of us fruitful for Jesus' sake, in Jesus' name. Thank you for this lesson that you've taught us, Father, in Jesus' name. And we trust, Holy Spirit, that you're the one that's going to help us to enter into all that God has provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we come humbly and commit our lives to you once again, Father, thanking you that you're a good Father and that you're always there to supply our needs. And so thanks for joining us today in the broadcast. If you'd like, again, a copy of any of my books, go to the website, www.sdccm.org. You can hit /shop. The order form is there. Your contribution, again, helps us with the broadcast time. Please drop us a note and let us know you're listening and give us your comments on the program. You can write us at CCM, P.O. Box 152-388, San Diego, California, 92195. Now, thank you again for listening, and thank you for dropping us a note, and thank you for supporting the broadcast. Thank you, and remember to walk with the King and help others every day of your life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great week in the Lord.